Blog Talk Radio.
With Beverly Black, live on Tribe Family Channel, proudly presented by Gumbo for the Soul International. I am Beverly Black, and it is an honor, privilege, and a pleasure to be the creator and CEO of this show. Shortly, my guest Dr. Marcia Demures, international author, will be joining me, and we will be discussing a rife conversation of a multitude of topics. She's going to tell us all about herself, how she got started writing, the topics that she chose, and why. And the conversation may go anywhere. I would like to first announce the reason why I chose Superstition by Stevie Wonder. Because we are living in some trying times, and it matters what we believe in. It matters what we're thinking about, what we're hearing. It matters what information is being passed on. And so that song just creates the dynamics for what we need to be more cognizant of when it comes to our beliefs, when we believe in things that we don't understand. And so it is at this time that I would like for us to reach an understanding. So welcome to Touching Base, once again, the debut hosted by myself, Beverly Black, creator of Gumbo for the Soul International, our parent company at gumbofortheSoulInternational.com. And at this time, I would like to welcome Dr. Marcia. Hello, Dr. Marcia, how are you?
I am fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm blessed. I need you to come to the microphone a little closer so I can hear you a little better, because I am anticipating a rife conversation. And first, I would like for you to touch bases with our listeners and let them know who is Dr. Marcia Demures.
Okay, can you hear me a little better now?
I can.
So my name is Marcia Demers, and let me start by saying that I grew up in Jamaica, which you all know is a third world country. I came from very humble beginnings. When I was up until about the age of 8, we lived, my sister and I, and my mom. I'm from a very small immediate family. One biological sister and one adopted sister, but at the time my adopted sister was not with us yet. So up until about the age of 8, we basically lived in extreme poverty in Jamaica. It was basically a one room, all inclusive, kitchen, bedroom, dining room, you know, and the only thing that was not inside was the bathroom, which was outside, which would be equivalent to, I guess, what you guys call here in America, a porta potty or portlet. So basically, you know, as I said, you know, I started out from very humble beginnings, but my dad left when I was about 3 and moved away to England. So I was raised in a single family home also. But my mom, bless her heart, you know, she's now passed on, was an extremely hard worker. And she worked day and night to get us out of that environment. And so by the time I was about 8, we were out, and we were in what was considered in Jamaica a middle-class neighborhood. So that's basically where I came from, how I started out. I stayed in Jamaica when I was about 15, 16, my mom moved to the United States. She did not plan to, but her sister encouraged her to stay so she could create a better life for us. And so I lived with my older sister, and then from there went on to the University of West Indies in Jamaica. And then when I was done, we joined my mom here, and that's how I ended up in the United States. And it's been quite a journey. Yeah, it's been quite a journey. You know, different culture. First time ever exposed to racism. Never seen it before in my life. You know, so all of those things were quite a shock and, you know, quite a big adjustment for me. You know?
Right, so. Well, let's unpack that. So first and foremost, God bless your mom, rest her soul, and for the ability to buffer against the vicissitudes of life and bring you up, you and your family up and out of the poverty-stricken environment that, you know, not by anyone's choice, but by, you know, sheer life cards. And so we want to honor her first and foremost for all that she means to you and your family. And so let's talk about childhood a little bit. Most folks over here, since we make a distinction between the two lands that we come from, my sister, take my crown to you. You know, back in our day, in the day of my folks coming up, the bathrooms outside were called outhouses because they were outside. Now, in modern day, they call them porta potties, you know, but it just depends on what generation and time period of history that you enter into. So if I go back to the days of my parents, they would have been called outhouses here. So, and then if my children were to go back to the days of their parents, me and their dad, then they would say porta potty. Now, the other dynamic I want to bring up is there are folks, and when you honor your mother for her strength and her working so hard and providing so that you all could rise above, as children, did you know you were poor? Because you will hear a lot of folks say, we were very poor, but we didn't know we were poor. The children, because the parents sheltered and provided such, and it has a lot to do with the joy in the environment. You may have lack and little, but some people have that type of environment where they just don't even know that they're poor because the joy there is making up the difference. And I don't know how it is growing up in Jamaica and the vicissitudes. So can you expound?
You know, that's a very interesting statement. I don't think I realized the extent of it at the time because also because of the culture there, it was like, you know how they say it takes a village? It was like a village. Mm-hmm. That's the environment that I grew up in. So even when my mom was at work, there were always people who were looking out for us and making sure we behaved and we were safe and all of that. You know, neighbors were just like families. You know, there were like no strangers. We were all like one big family. And also with my mom working as hard as she did, she made sure that we had basically have everything we needed. We may not have had everything we wanted, you know, but we had everything we needed. You know, we never went hungry. We always had, you know, clothes on our back and, you know, roof over our head, you know, depends on no matter what it looked like, but, you know, we were fine, you know. So in retrospect, I think I realized the extent of it at the time, you know, because, as I said, we were provided for. And, I mean, I can't think of one Christmas where I didn't get lots of toys and, you know, just had a good time, you know.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah. So I would say the only thing that I probably missed, and it has nothing to do with poverty, was, you know, I missed, because my mom had to work so hard at the time, I missed having her there, you know, so.
Right. Right. Well, thank you for going into depth to give us clarity. So the cultural shock of moving and making it to the United States, describe The anticipation while you're still in Jamaica, if you know, if you've heard the buzz of the adult conversations and how the plans were culminating of your imminent move, and then into the actual move itself and the cultural shock therein. Can you expound on that?
Well, I mean, I already knew it was planned ahead of time, but as soon as I was done with college, you know, then my sister and I would both move. At the time, well, I guess it still is considered, you know, well, I know it is. You know, everybody looks at America as a quote-unquote rich country. So, you know, it's a place to be. It's a land of opportunity. And some people think it's the land of milk and honey, you know. So those are the things that were in my head at the time. However, I was still very much attached to my home. So I was excited about being with my mom, but I was not excited about moving. You know, so when I got here, well, first of all, the first stop was New York. So coming from a tropical climate and then having to deal with the elements, that alone in itself was, I mean, it was awesome to see the snow, but to just to have the challenge of, you know, driving in inclement weather and all of that, that was, you know, that was interesting and just very different. You know, I did not like the cold at all, and I guess that's why I'm in Florida now, because I just never got used to it, a part of the reason. As far as the racism, that was a big thing for me because, as I said, you know, when people think of Jamaica, they might think of, oh, you know, it's only like dark-skinned people who live there, but we had people of all races, you know, Chinese, Cajun, whatever. They were Jamaican-born, but, yeah, so we, and everybody, like I said, was like one big happy family. So when I came here and saw the division, and experienced it myself, it was like, it was heartbreaking. It was heart-wrenching, you know. I, at first, I didn't even know how to deal with it, you know. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was just totally, totally, totally foreign, you know. I had never seen that before. But, I mean, you know, you do get to a point where you live and you learn. I was very, like, docile at first. You know, very submissive, just went with whatever. But, you know, sometimes you get to a point where, like, enough is enough, and you become more assertive and do what you need to do, you know, to survive.
Yes, yes. Well, life will definitely toughen you up. That's what happens, you know.
Right. I mean, I have had just the little experiences, like, for example, being on the line in a store, and there were people who were Caucasian who were ahead of me, and they paid for their items, their merchandise, walked out, and as soon as I know, I didn't hear one person being asked for ID, and as soon as I got there, I was singled out, and I had to, and I mean, I have been known to just say, okay, and I just leave the merchandise, and I go, shut it down, and I don't get it.
I came a very
long way from being docile to, okay, you know, I'm not going to go with this. This is not acceptable. You can have your stuff.
It boils down to the value that you place on your hard-earned dollars, and for good reason. And if you're going to insult me, I am not by far going to patronize your establishment with my hard-earned money. I will take my dollars elsewhere. And so I echo those sentiments. Now, let me ask you, how were your university experiences in the face of, you know, the newness of the entire landscape, the cultural difference and similarities? Because we as the human race, we look at the differences and I'm generalizing, but I feel as though the human race heightens the differences between races of people and cultures, as opposed to heightening the similarities. People all over the world want the same thing. They want to live, love, and, you know, have a happy life. And it's one life. So why wouldn't they want at least those basics? So how was it in your university experience is what the original question is, despite the adversities of racism?
Well, this is one thing that really kind of threw me off also when I first got here, because I tried to transfer my credits from the university that I attended in Jamaica, and it was like, it was so difficult to do that. You know, they needed this, and I felt like my level of education was being downplayed. And, you know, that did not sit very well with me, you know, because I knew what I had, you know, and the value of it. But eventually, I did get a little tired, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to start over. And so that's what happened. I actually started over, went back to school. At first, I was in Hawaii, and I went back and got my associate's degree, because I had a family at the time, little kids, you know, and so I decided at the time to just take one or two classes at a time, because I had so many responsibilities, and also at the time, I wasn't as financially stable as I am right now, so I started out like that. And to make a long story short, you know, one day I walked into the office, my counselor's office, and she was like, "You're doing so well. Why are you just taking one or two classes?" And I was like, "Well, you know, that's all I'm able to afford right now." And then she told me about a scholarship. And I can tell you, I applied for that scholarship, I got it. And from that day out onwards, so that was, I was there in school for 2 years. Then I came back home, because I returned to school as an adult. I came back home, I graduated in 2009. So let me do the math. So over about a 5-year period, from I attained the first scholarship, I went on a scholarship ride throughout the rest of my student life.
Wow.
I never had to pay a dime back to the government. Not one dime.
Wow.
And when I was
school,
it was and when I was in school, you know, sometimes you just need someone to show you or tell you something you don't know, or give you the information, you know. And you know, that's one of the reasons I write also, you know, because there are people who need to know. And once I knew how, I did not stop. And I remember in pharmacy school here in Florida, Nova Southeastern University, which is pretty expensive because it's a private school, I remember at the end of the program, the financial aid officer coming in to, you know, go give a review of what it's going to take to repay the loan and stuff like that. And there are moans and groans all over the auditorium. And it was a class of over 200. And there was myself and another young lady who her parents had paid her way. We were the only ones without loans. And I was like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, it came at a cost.
Right.
I had to keep
my
GPA up. I said it came at a cost because I had to keep. Can you hear me?
Yes, go on. It came at a cost because you had to keep your GPA up.
Yeah, I couldn't go below a 3.6. But that was okay. It was well worth it in the end, you know, so, yeah.
Well, I commend that in you, the achiever, the go-getter, the perseverer, the struggler, the hustler, the queen, you know, all of the dynamics that said, I'm not quitting, the no quitter, the lack of procrastination, because you don't achieve what you've achieved if any of those elements that I just said weren't true. Now, this points to a show that also airs here on Tribe Family Channel that we're going to have you on this Saturday. We're discussing bullying. However, I'm definitely wanting to expand that conversation based on what you just said. And that show is called The Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community. And it is so named after my first book that I published in 2005. In 2005, my first book is an anthology out of the Gumbo for the Soul publication series anthologies. And what the tie-in is that not only did we address literacy and the disparaging low high school dropout rate, high school dropout rate, low enrollment into college, but we also highlighted over 50 scholarships specifically targeting the African-American community that were going to waste because we weren't applying for them. And you just testified to being a candidate that is applying and has been awarded all of these scholarships for your full ride, being an international student at that. And so that even gives even more of a thumbtack on the map about where we're lacking. And so I want to have that conversation with you, and that's going to be on Saturday, July 21st, with Dr. Marcia Demure on The Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community, and we're going to further the conversation on scholarships, and we're going to expound and open up dialogue regarding bullying. And with the mention of my first book, let's move our discussion into the literary realm. You matriculated through university, full scholarships. About how many scholarships do you think in total, if you have any recall?
About any, let's see, Lisa Leroy, 1, 2, 3, 4. I'd say 4.
Okay. Well, those have to be heavily underwritten to now be a licensed pharmacist in Florida. You've been in Pennsylvania and Virginia. Your doctorate in pharmacy is from Nova Southeastern University, and I'm sure you have a plethora of other accolades that you could expound on. And so this is that. If you could embellish us on, qualify yourself and tell us what your accomplishments are by way of your notable achievements and your studies. Being that you do have 10 years experience in clinical pharmacy, run all of your achievements down that you possibly can without running out of breath, Queen. And then we'll talk about the publications.
Well, first let me say congratulations on your anthology.
Oh,
okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, So let's start from when I was in Jamaica. I have a bachelor's of science in chemistry and biochemistry, which I got from Jamaica. Then when I moved here, I started out with an associate's, but as I said, in liberal arts. I was interested in pharmacy school, but they did not have one in Hawaii at the time. Now they do. So I did all my prereqs, and in the meantime, along the way, I acquired an associate's in liberal arts. I now have a doctorate in pharmacy. I am a licensed realtor, and as you said, I am a number one international best-selling author two times best-selling author.
Wow. Well, congratulations to you, and let me tip my crown and say, you know, you have been doing the thing, and I just want to honor the fact that when you see melanin and black girl magic in effect, you know, you really have to recognize that. And so, you know, congratulations, hashtag black girl magic up in here. Now,
I just want to say something, because my thing is to serve and to help others, and mm-hmm. I also recently became certified as an author coach. So now I'm showing others how to become best-selling authors also, and I use a foolproof formula. So, you know, if anyone is
awesome.
Interested. Yeah.
Great, 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 great. And we'll give you a chance to shout out your contact info. There can't be enough support and mentoring and consulting in that area. And I do the same. And perhaps if enough people hear that there's some help out here, that more people will come forward with their stories, because a lot of people just don't know where to start. They're scared that they're going to get led in the right direction, that their money is going to be wasted and taken from them fraudulently. And so it is very hard for them to make that move. So it's refreshing
right.
to know that another sister has taken the time out of all that you've achieved and you've learned to turn around and consult in that area so that you can help mentor and guide people along. And this is not anything that comes wholly for free, ladies and gentlemen, because this is skipping a lifetime of work in the industry to get to from A to Z through this type of mentoring and consulting. So you cannot expect this type of experience for free. And with that being said, let's get to the culmination of you becoming an author and a bestseller. Take us on that journey. How do you do what you do so well? And what is your first publication? And congratulations to your twin book. Congratulations.
Thank you. Well, you know, I just, you know, one day I have come a long way in terms of even just learning to love myself and, you know, learning that my mistakes do not make me, and in terms of just learning that I need to, in order to help others, I need to put myself in a vulnerable place. I need to be able to become emotionally naked, is what I say. Because I realize that my story can help so many people, you know, and if I can help someone not be delayed in terms of their own personal growth and development, and, you know, give them a jump start. That's what I want to do. And so I decided I wanted to tell my story, because even when I just graduated from, there's so much to tell, but I'll keep it brief. Even when I just graduated with my associate in Hawaii, it was such a big deal. It was a big deal. And so many people came up to me, because I was like, I wasn't valedictorian, but I was like the spotlight because of the scholarship that I had gotten and, you know, everything there. And so many people came up to me, single parents, adults, you know, people who say, you've inspired me so much, because I didn't think that I could do it. But looking at you, you know, in everything, all of your other responsibilities, and you're a grown adult, and you, you know, you went through it and you did it. You know, you inspired me so much. And so I realized, you know, that my story is really not for me. And if I could just take the focus off myself and focus on others, you know, helping them, pulling them up by their bootstraps, you know, that's the place that I needed to be. And so I decided I was going to tell my story. And so I did my homework and eventually flew out to, not very long after I made a decision, flew out to California to meet the people who I, it's really a marketing company, it's a husband and wife team, a marketing company with a publishing department. And I saw that they had released like bestseller after bestseller after bestseller. And I was like, oh, I have to meet these people. And so I went, and they're part of the, I don't know, do you know, have you heard of Lisa Nichols? They're part of her tribe.
Yes.
Yes, they're part of her tribe.
Yes, of course,
so,
I've heard of Lisa Nichols. In fact, while we were waiting for Gumbo for the Soul's first book to drop, endorsed by Tavis Smiley, Lisa Nichols used to post in the group we were in, while you're waiting for the gumbo, and then she would post something about chicken soup for the soul. And I told her, you better come on over here and help stir this pot of gumbo. But, you know, we were so... you know, everyone was like on their literary journey and getting everything launched. And so we were blessed to have Tavis Smiley endorse Gumbo for the Soul Publications. Yes, but I do know Lisa Nichols, and congratulations to that connection within that group. And you were saying about the group?
Yeah, so I went to the Speak and Write event, and I met Stephen Kathy Kidd, who are really the ones who are in, you know, they work with authors and stuff. And, you know, I just made a decision. I was had a little brief interview. You know, the gentleman I interviewed with, he said, tell me a little bit about yourself. I did. And he said, you definitely have a story. And then I just sat there and I just started to cry, you know. And then,
wow,
that was it. You know, I made my payment. I came home and I started writing. And the first book, I have a friend that I went to high school with. She was a few years ahead of me. She's a professor. She's an artist. And I had seen one of her pieces online that I really loved. It just spoke to me. And I actually purchased it from her. It sits over my bed. And it was called Out of the Fire. And that is a picture of a woman, and she's glowing, but she looks like she's emerging from something. And that just, I just saw myself in her. And so I purchased it. And then as I was writing my book, I said, I want to call my book Out of the Fire. And so I called her and asked for her permission, and she gave it. And so my first book was called Out of the Fire, and the subtitle is From Poverty to Prosperity. And then the sequel is Awaken
well,
the Time.
Wait a minute before you go into the sequel. First, congratulations. The experience and the journey and the birthing of your first publication had to be just one of those amazing, amazing journeys along your path that will always be remembered. And congratulations to you for that. And I wanted to give you a moment, if you could grab your copy. We're going to take a quick commercial break and give you time to grab that copy while we go over sponsors. And we would like to have you read either an excerpt or part of the introduction. Will that be all right?
Sure, absolutely.
All right. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to the debut of Touching Base with Beverly Black. And my guest is Dr. Marcia Demures, international author. We are touching base on a plethora of topics. More importantly, as she has risen from poverty to prosperity, Out of the Fire, her book, she will read an excerpt in just a bit after this commercial break from our sponsors.
Ever wanted to get away from it all? Maybe an inexpensive honeymoon, or even a second honeymoon, or just a mini vacation for the two of you? Now you can. You can go to the Shalites home, away from home, when they're not on tour. It's called the Shalites Dream Castle Villa, where you can relax in luxurious surroundings, where the staff and all amenities are at your full disposal. Their private gated villa offers 24-hour on-property security. Dream Castle Villa is just 20 minutes away from the newly constructed International Airport in Montego Bay, Jamaica. Enjoy incredible views of the Caribbean Sea and the Iron Shore Golf Course. The Shalites Dream Castle Villa is a relaxing, soothing, and romantic experience that's excellent for small private weddings, wedding renewals, engagements, anniversaries, or just a mini vacation for two. For reservations, visit their website at dreamcastlevilla.com or call toll-free at 888-747-9802 and see what other luxuries await you. Relax, just like the Shalites, at the Shalites Dream Castle Villa, and hold on to your dreams.
You know the name.
You saw their story on Undone.
You remember the hits.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the legendary Shalites.
years, the legendary Shylines have performed all over the world to standing room only crowds.
And now here's a brand new book
from the only original remaining member of this fabulous group.
The book is entitled Last Man Standing by Marshall Thompson, which chronicles the group's rise to fame with two number one hits and dozens of Billboard top 10 hits.
The Shylines were forced to be reckoned with. Last Man Standing is the story of a personal side of a man who sang about love, romance, and dreams. It will have you laughing out loud one moment and tearing at your heartstrings the very next. Last Man Standing by the legendary Marshall Thompson. Available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and eBooks.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in live on Tribe Family Channel, Touching Base with Beverly Black. And this is a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand brought to you by the Dream Castle Villa and Gumbo for the Soul International. Be sure to visit our parent company at gumbofortheSoulInternational.com. Now, our guest, Dr. Marcia Demures, international author, Out of the Fire, From Poverty to Prosperity. Dr. Marcia, what do
yes.
you have for our ears? We are ready.
Okay, I'll read a little from the chapter called Priceless Moments, and it begins. Fast forward, I can clearly remember the day I received the call saying I was a recipient of the Jack Kent Cook Foundation undergraduate scholarship. My first thought was, stop playing. This is not funny. Once I interviewed the caller and verified her authenticity, I asked her to hold for a minute. I remember jumping up and down and screaming as if I had lost my mind. Once I got that out, I collected myself and reconnected with her calmly. There was such a celebration on the island of Oahu. I was interviewed by newscasters, and reporters came into my home just to meet and chat with me. Walking into a restaurant with my family on Mother's Day, I noticed that I had made front page news. The newspaper hit my eyes in the showcase as soon as I walked in. That was an epic moment. Did I feel like a celebrity? I couldn't help myself. It was a bit much for me, but I handled it with grace. So I graduated from Honolulu Community College with a 3.96 GPA. I was made the focus of the entire graduation ceremony. However, the most meaningful experience for me was when person after person and shared how much I had inspired them. Young and not so young approached me and shared that I had given them hope. Single mothers experienced a change of heart. That was priceless. So that's just a little.
That's not little. That is huge. Oh, wow.
And with the Jack Kent Cook Scholarship, there were 1,290 nominees from more than 600 colleges and universities across the country. And they only chose 76 recipients, and I was one of them.
76 out of thousands.
1290.
Now,
yeah.
That is phenomenal. And, of course, you should have been feeling like you were on top of the world. You're in a magical place like Hawaii. You've been asserting yourself. You're a go-getter, like I said. And who more deserving than, you know, you having and, you know, for your mother to your mother was there then, right, you said?
No.
She wasn't there. I thought you said you walked in to the restaurant with who?
With my
family.
Who was
it that you walked
at the time?
Oh, with your family.
So at the time I was married.
Oh, I see. I see. Oh,
yes.
Okay. I see.
Yes.
Well,
so
now
I had...
this. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No,
I
at
said,
the time you
so
had...
my family consisted of my ex-husband, my biological child, and my two stepsons.
And
that's
you see this newspaper with you mm-hmm. on the front.
Totally on the
And you know how you like me now? That's like one of those big how you like me now moments. Now, did you buy all of the copies that were there or no? Because, you know,
no,
we act a fool, girl. We're like, ah!
Well, when I walked in, people were, the waiters and waitresses, they were like, that's you. I was like, I know.
I think so. Yeah, it is. Wow.
They were just as surprised as I was.
Wow. I really enjoyed your reading from Out of the Fire, from Poverty to Prosperity. Now, where can our listeners pick up that publication?
Okay, they can go to MarciaDDemers.com, and it's spelled like my first name, M, and David again, E-M-E-R-S as in Sam.com. And if they click on that link, it should take them to my webpage, and then they can scroll through the tab and place an order for a copy.
Great. Phenomenal. And I am excited to hear about your next book. If it's anything as fascinating as what you just delivered, let's go. Let's hear it.
Yeah, you want to hear about it now?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Tell me about your second book. Yes, let's hear about that.
So the second book is called Awaken, The Time Is Now. And in the second book, like I said, it's a sequel to the first. And in the action steps that people can take,
mm-hmm.
you know, like one chapter is moving into financial freedom. One chapter is purchasing my first home. Another chapter is scholarship opportunities. So, you know, I kind of give a synopsis of how people can achieve those things or accomplish those things. So that's how it's different from the first. And there are stories in there also, you know, but I made sure that, I gave information as far as how people can cross that bridge and how important
mm-hmm.
it is to do so, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, wonderful. Now, if you want to embellish us with another reading, we do have time. It's up to you. But I wanted to ask you to talk about campus life. If you lived on campus at any time, how did you matriculate, with any adversity that you may have faced or any triumphs that you want to tell us about?
Oh, you mean like when I lived on campus and I had like four roommates and they were wild and I couldn't study so?
Yes, that is exactly what I said. That's exactly what I said.
So I just moved off campus and got my own apartment because I was like, this is ridiculous. People coming in drunk, knocking at the door at 3 o'clock and having a living boyfriend when we're all girls and no boy was supposed to be there. So anyway, I ended up moving off campus, you know, into my own apartment. And so this is one of my growing periods, my periods of growth where I learned from my mistakes. So I got this really nice apartment and I decided I just couldn't wait. You know, I just had to fix it up and get furniture and just make it look great. So in the process, you know, I ran myself up into debt, a lot of debt, you know. There were literally times, Beverly, where I had little to nothing to eat because I was very foolish. You know, they say young and dumb, I don't know, you know. But through that, though, like I said, you know, that's a growth. You know, my mom used to say, thank her for learning. And one day I just blew
sick and
tired.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat what your mom used to say?
Mistakes are for learning.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, you know, one day I just said, you know, I have to turn this around. And, you know, I walked into a debt consolidation office And, you know, while I did my research, I chose one. And, you know, they had me, back in the day, I don't know what they do now, but they had me cut my cards up. I'm crying, cutting my cards up, all of them with a pair of scissors, you know, watching the pieces fall to the floor. And anyway, so, and then they got me on this plan, which I kind of, I actually outlined the plan in my book, my second book. And within
okay.
3 years, within 3 years of staying consistent, I was
wonderful,
so,
wonderful,
yeah.
wonderful. You had to ride that road, so I really want to hear about or read for myself this book. Now, what is the title of your second book, and do you have an excerpt for us?
Let me see if I can find an excerpt. It's called Awaken, The Time Is Now. And let me see what I want to read here.
All right. And while
back,
our guest, oh, go ahead. You're ready to speak? Go right on.
No. You can go ahead.
No, I was filling in while you arrived at your page, but you have arrived.
No, I haven't arrived. I was going to tell you that I end at, with it. Till I Rise, I closed out with that by Maya Angelou. In the second book.
Oh,
so,
I see. Okay. Nice. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if
okay.
you're just tuning in, Dr. Marcia Demures, international author, is about to give us a reading from her second book, live here on Tribe Family Channel's Touching Base with Beverly Black. Go ahead, Dr. Marcia.
Okay. So this chapter is called The Moment of Reflection, and it starts, in retrospect, though I may not have always made the right choices, I have always been a fighter. While attending the University of the West Indies in Jamaica, I remember having this sharp pain in my right side one evening. Fortunately for me, I had a close friend who was a doctor and who had stopped by to visit. As he left, he told my roommate to call him if I started vomiting. Sure enough, shortly after he left, I did. I was rushed to the emergency room and ended up undergoing surgery the next day. We were in the middle of final exams. I had one exam left in chemistry. A message was sent to me to find out if I would like to wait until after full recovery to sit for the exam. I was in a lot of, those were not the days where surgeons used laparoscopic methods to perform surgery. That technology had not yet been developed. I had a full incision. I thought about it for a whole minute, then decided I had already studied for the exam and wanted to take it that day. I took the exam while in severe pain and did very well. While enrolled at Brockport State University, I worked in a nursing home as a nursing assistant in order to put myself through school. Taking care of the elderly day in and day out was another eye-opener for me. It just reinforced for me how fragile life is, the way I never had a single visitor. I would sit with them until they were gone. I heard stories of productive lives and stories of lives that were not so productive. Reflecting on this at a later date caused me to determine in my heart to do more than just exist and then die, but to at the very least leave a legacy. Your choices determine your present and your future. If I had learned how to handle my finances at an earlier age like my sister did, I would have been ahead of the curve as it was in her case. Poverty is so poverty in any arena. Poverty in relationships, poverty in finances, poverty in education can still lead to an unfulfilled life. Okay, that's my excerpt.
Wow. Now, not only might we have the same sister and might we have done the same thing and made the mistake of not following their path, her path.
Right.
But, you know, I really want to commend your empathy for sitting with the souls that had no one and allowing them some comfort and solitude and not being completely abandoned. And that is definitely your ministry and your grace that is just a huge level of humility and grace upon you. That was a wonderful read as well. You're welcome. And I really enjoyed this show. This hour has come to a close, but once again, thank you for opening up this debut show with me, Touching Base. And once again, shout out your website. Let our listeners know where they can get in touch with you for any of your publishing and consulting services or your publications.
Okay, my website is marciadedemers.com. It's marciadedemers.com. That's marciadedemers.com. And you will find everything there as far as my contact information, my author coaching offer, my books for sale, and it's all there.
Awesome. Thank you so much once again, Dr. Marcia, for being my special guest on this opening show. And I want to remind our listeners that you can log on to gumbleforthesoul.com, or excuse me, gumbleforthesoulinternational.com, and find out more about my publications and consulting as well. You can follow our radio studio at blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul, and you can connect with Tribe Family Channel via facebook.com/Tribe Family Channel. We're also on Twitter at Tribe Family US. And if you're considering being a guest on our show or any of our shows, feel free to get in touch with me, Beverly Black, at TribeFamilyChannel@gmail.com. And that is Tribe, T-R-I-B-E, Talent, Respect, Inspiration, Beauty, Empowerment, FamilyChannel.com. Now, Dr. Marcia, before we go, I want you to give us some last words. We opened this show with Superstition by Stevie Wonder, and we will close with the same. But we need to dispel superstitions and myths and naysaying and the things that we speak over ourselves and over our destinies. So what would you say to anyone that has followed any type of, I would say, curve that they need to step aside from and go forward towards their destiny? What would you say we need to curve in this day and age and keep it moving?
What do we need to curb? I think one of the big things is to change our mindset. We have to change our mindset around everything, including money, you know, change our mindset, you know, around abundance. We have to change our mindset as to our own potentials. I think everything that I believe we were all born with a purpose, and I believe everything that we need is inside of us. And, you know, as my friend Bruce George would say, it's just for us to find the genius that's inside of us and to work with that, you know, and to work on self-development and growth, and just to become the best version of yourself that you can possibly be.
That is so very well taken. And once again, thank you so very much for being our guest here on the debut of Touching Base. And that concludes this episode of Touching Base with Dr. Marcia Demers. And you can find out more about our upcoming shows by following our studio again at blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. Now, I'm going to leave you with a mantra that I wrote when I first started out in the literary community. I was an at-home mom, and my hands were full with a husband and students in school and keeping the home environment running. And my mantra became, you can't do everything in one day, but you can do something every day. And so I encourage you not to procrastinate about your destiny, because you can do something every day. And this sister that was just here on our show, she took an exam post-operative from having a general anesthetic. She had studied for her exam and she aced it. But guess what? That's not all. Because she rose out of the fire from poverty. Careful what you speak over yourself and what you listen to, because you know what? Very superstition is not the way to go. Good night and God bless.